Hi, and welcome to Culture Unraveled. I'm Jacob Cherian, and continuing with what the Instagram clip showed, that one of the ways to understand the Russia and Ukraine crisis is to be able to understand Vladimir Putin, you know, is to understand what are some of the reasons why he is doing that. And it's not just one man thinking about this. It is, in one sense, the way in which the history and the relationship between these two nations are embodied in him, in his mind. Now, it's not that everyone has that view and that take on it, but it is a particular view of their history and how that takes shape in his motivation. Now, there are many people who have analyzed and looked at why Vladimir Putin wants to do this. For example, the chief of German Navy, Schonbach, speech in India a month ago said that the primary motivation for Vladimir Putin is respect. He wants respect on a world stage, and that's why he is trying to push into this. That could be one motivation, though many say that that's not a strong enough motivation. Russia is already a well-respected power around the world. Another reason given by some analysts is that it's for security reasons, you know, so that Ukraine would be a buffer between invasions from other nations and things like that, because it shares such a close border. That also has been looked at as a motivation, but it's not a primary motivation. It could be one factor among many factors. I think one place where we can go to, where we can really understand or understand it from Putin himself, is the article that he wrote in July 2021. And the article is titled "On the Historical Unity of the Russians and the Ukrainians." You know, and he in one sense, very articulately pours out his heart in that. And not just, it is definitely a place where you can see his emotions coming out, but he's also giving events from history and records from history as to why he believes that the two belong together. You know, and so as the article progresses, he strengthens his point. A lot of it is very intricate history and very specific to their context and to their past that's there. But here are some things that comes out very clearly. He over and over again says that we are one people, that the Russians and Ukrainians are one civilization, are one race, are one historical people, and we are one spiritual space. And he keeps on saying that over and over again. He reiterates that point. In one sense, that is his main point, that these, that Russians and Ukrainians are one, you know, are historically one race, one group of people which have been divided. That's there. And so his claim is to bring that together. In one sense, many have seen that he thinks of him as a monarch, as a czar, and his intentions are to unite them, are to bring them all under, so that the glory of the Soviet Union can again be reclaimed in some way. So in one sense, that is a primary motivation for him, and he writes that very clearly. And all the historic examples that he gives over and over again is to prove this point. We are one race, one historic people, we are united together, we need to come together. That is, there our economics need to be deeply tied, our culturally also we are so intertwined. There is no there's no difference between the way we conduct ourselves and so on. So over and over again, you can find that article online. Over and over again, he says, we are both within the same spiritual space, one spiritual people, you know. And so he has a greater or a deeper metaphysical understanding about it, a deeper belief system through that becomes the reason why he is pushing for it. In his speeches, he said that the collapse of the Soviet Union, you know, they were all before 1991, it was the Soviet Union, they were all grouped together as one. And in 1991, when the collapse of the Soviet Union happened, Putin was just an intelligence officer who was coming up the ranks. And he says that is the greatest catastrophe of the 20th century, many of his speeches, he over and over again iterates that the collapse of the Soviet Union, the disunity among the disintegration of the Soviet Union was the greatest catastrophe of the 20th century. And he was more so surprised because Mikhail Gorbachev, who was the head at that point in time when the Soviet Union collapsed and Ukraine became a different nation, his mother, well, Gorbachev's mother itself, was Ukrainian. You know, his father was Russian, his mother was Ukrainian. So he grew up with that exact culture and heritage. And so it was shocking to Putin and many others like Putin. You know, Putin is not a one person who's concocting this in his head. He is representing a huge group of Russians who look at their history in that way, that he genuinely thinks that they are one civilization. Now, here's another thing. He believes that though they are one people, the Ukraine is ultimately being seduced by the West, that their leaders are inefficient, that the leaders are trying to gain some political mileage from the West, because of which he believes that they are brainwashing the people in order to align more to the West. In a poll that was done, more than 50% of those in Ukraine are willing to join the EU. 64% of them are willing to join NATO, which is the Western alliance. So we see that even within Ukraine, people are moving away from the civilization that Putin wants and is talking about towards West and the Western ways of thinking and their lifestyle and their ways of politically handling a nation and politically ruling a nation. Now, and in one sense, that's what Putin deeply believes should not happen, that if they are one civilization, one race, then he believes that the West are coming, seducing them and taking away something that that was rightly won. You know, in one sense, it is divide and rule. And he very clearly states that in his article, that what the West, what America and the West are doing is dividing this one people and trying to rule. Now, you could say that his motivations are justified if we were to buy the argument that they are one race. It's almost like he believes that they were like, there is this relationship. And so an example is that you have this relationship and suddenly this relationship breaks off and somebody else who's not good for this person is taking this person away. And you know that it's not good for this person and the best thing is to come together, right? So even if you think, or even if we think that his motivations are justified, is his actions justified? You know, and I don't think there's any way in which we can justify his actions. As a Christian, I definitely can't see this and say, okay, just because your ends of what you want to achieve could be right, the means by which you could go about is this. And especially Russia being Eastern Orthodox, you know, as a civilization, they are Eastern Orthodox, deeply rooted in Jesus Christ, deeply rooted in that concept of the Messiah and the cross that's there. So how is he doing it? Well, sending thousands of troops to the border. In the past years, annexed huge areas and huge territories of Ukraine. He has sent people and a technology to sabotage the Ukrainian government. And so you see that though he feels that his cause is justified and that it is right, ultimately the way in which he is going about it is through brute force, that he cannot take it, cannot accept it, and through force he needs to be able to bring that group back in. Now, what could be a response to something like this? Well, we could say that if they believe, Putin and others around him believe that their cause is justified, then there is a way to win them back. And the winning them back is always through persuasion. It's always through acts of love and acts of, to show, they need to be able to embody it and show it. Brute force never really works, and it has never worked in and through history. Even if it has, and even if he's successful, there is a time limit for it. It will ultimately collapse. Very interestingly, in the book of Hosea, we see that Hosea marries Gomer. who then goes on committing adultery. And God asks Hosea to go and win her back, to pay off her debt to the other men, and to be able to bring her back. Now, it's said their life is told in the story as a symbolism for the relationship between God and Israel, that Israel are a people who belong to God. They made a covenant promise to Yahweh. And they go over and over again, being seduced by idolatry, seduced by other things, forgetting their history, what they are connected to. And what we see through the life of Hosea is symbolic of the way in which God tries to win them back. That despite the fact that we have a history here, despite the fact that the people have forgotten it, forsaken it, and gone, God would always try to bring them back. That's there. And it is, in one sense, something that can be embodied even politically, or can be manifested politically. It's difficult, unbelievably difficult, but it's not without precedence. Mahatma Gandhi was able to do it. He also understood that the colonial powers were dividing and ruling the people. And his way of uniting them, galvanizing them, is through self-sacrifice. It's to give of himself, and then through that, unite the varying factions that is there. You know, make them open their eyes to see. And he himself, Gandhi himself, was deeply influenced by Orthodox Christianity. He was deeply influenced by Leo Tolstoy, who was a radical Orthodox Christian in that sense. And they had a relationship. So the Russian Eastern Orthodox thinking, the civilizational Eastern Orthodox thinking, has been a catalyst for movements like this, where they see other powers pushing the people away, and the way in which to bring them back is through love and sacrifice. So if Putin feels that his endeavors are worthwhile and are worthy, and that he needs to be able to do this, I guess one way to do this is to go back to his civilizational roots in terms of Eastern Orthodox Christianity, to be able to see what is the heart of that message and be able to embody that and act on a macro scale politically, to act that message out, to persuade them, to show acts of kindness and love, and to be able to win their hearts back and move them to that. You know, no power of seduction can withstand the call of true love. You know, if that is the history and those civilizational roots are there, it will be felt. Moving away from force into something much more powerful could be a way in which he could achieve his desires.